Welcome to the Kickstart Podcast. On this episode, we have the pleasure of hosting someone who has over a decade in both recruiting and entrepreneurial ventures. Today, he's now the founder and operator of Lazio Search Group, a leading executive search firm specializing in supply chain, logistics, IT, and automotive industries. Dominic, thank you so much for being on.
Preston, thank you for having me on. Excited to join you today in this talk shop and see what information we can pass on and help anybody that's out here looking for more information to get successful in this game, right? It's a tough game right now. And how can you get to that next level?
Exactly.
In this market, right? So I know we were talking about that earlier.
So for those that are a little bit more unfamiliar with your background, Dom, I try to do my best to give a little bit more of a high-level synopsis of some of the great things that you've done. Would you mind just sharing a little bit more about yourself?
Yeah, so I played college hockey at The Ohio State University, a couple of years pro. After that, I got into recruiting on accident, fell into it. A buddy of mine said, hey, we got this job over here. Why don't you come try it out? Ended up liking it, right? Loved doing what I was doing at the time. It was just really just talent acquisition, more manufacturing. You know, people were applying, I was calling, but I still loved the aspect of recruiting, headhunting. I found out what kind of money was involved, and then I'm like, okay, this is something I can do long term, something I love doing, you know, and that's how it all started back in 2010, I think it was now. But that's kind of background. I also have a catering business, family owned and operated here in Washington Township, Michigan. And then we have Lazio Search Group here in Auburn Hills, Michigan, and Lazio Resources down in Texas now.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and another one up and coming, Lazio Engineering. So we'll have a bunch of different departments in different spaces to be able to help all clients in different areas, different verticals, and just try to be the best support recruiting system we can for them, right? So whatever we can do.
So before we dive into your operations at Lazio, I just want to take one more step back. So your first foray into recruiting was similar to mine. It sounded like you got a job on the agency side like me. And it also sounded like before recruiting, you've done a lot of entrepreneurial things, catering things. You're also a professional athlete. Did any of those or maybe both experiences help a lot that you were able to kind of leverage some sort of foundation of skills that you developed prior to just crush it in recruiting? Or did you find recruiting like pretty simple, straightforward, or was it just hard work ethic in the beginning to help you find success?
No, I definitely think that hockey had a lot to do with it, right? It's the hard work, the work ethic, working out at 5:30 a.m., the discipline, everything that came with it, right? The competitive nature of hockey, right? I think that's what drove me to be successful in business. And, you know, I know that somebody's out here trying to compete with me and beat me every day, right? So, you know, for me, I get up, you know, 5 a.m. and I go to the gym and I get to the office at 6:30, you know, hit it early. And then I'm back on at night after I play with the kids for a couple hours. But I've always been like that from day one, because I know what it takes to be successful. And, you know, even just, well, let's go back to hockey, right? To get a college scholarship and be a D1 athlete, look at the percentages of that, right? And then look at the percentages of the D1 hockey players that go pro. It's a very small number. You know, to even be at that level, you have to be competitive day in and day out. And then it's not just, you know, for games, it's every day, practice, workouts, you name it. It's a day in, day out thing. You can't just say, hey, I'm gonna show up today, right? And do my best. It's every day, every hour you're in that gym, every minute. It's just, you got to get after it at all times, right? And I think that's probably what you probably learned over the years too. You just can't sit back. The moment you do, somebody's coming right behind you to take your spot.
There's no secret sauce. And I tell people, if they want to work for themselves, there's a couple of things that they can do before to help them find success or ramp up quickly, right? Number one is, like, if they have previous entrepreneurial experience, they had an idea or two, they crashed and burned, failed, and just learned a ton from that. Or they perhaps worked in a sales job where it's failing, getting rejected every single day. You have to have a tremendous amount of discipline, or some sort of sports or a combination of both. Because to find any level of success in athletics, you have to, like you said, discipline, work ethic, wake up early, put in those hours. There's no shortcut. And so I find it fascinating that you've done a little bit of like all of those to kind of give yourself just an awesome kind of prepackaged foundation you're able to leverage to a really successful recruiting career. Now, talk me through the early days of Lazio. Like, was it just you? Like, how did you decide to start it? Like, why did you decide to start it? I know you've obviously been entrepreneurial. So perhaps in your brain, you're like, hey, I want to continue being entrepreneurial into the future. Like, talk me through, share some of the early days.
Yeah. So, you know, I think back in 2020, when we were working on my basement. Well, before that, I was at another firm and I broke off from them, right? And my partner just show up in a green Lamborghini one day, just not offering raises to our employees, right? And I was just like, listen, I want my team to be great. I want everyone to make money. So I need to make this move. I ended up getting sued for a non-compete. I had to pay him $100,000, go through legal and all this. And that's how Lazio got started. I said, all right, let's just get after it. You know, started out in my basement during COVID. I forgot when we incorporated in October of 2020, right? February, yeah, around that time. Out of my basement. So I brought out one guy, Andrew. I met him at the hockey rink. No recruiting experience at all, but I saw him going back and forth cleaning. And I was coaching 14-year-old youth hockey at the time. I saw him going back and around cleaning and just nonstop working. I go, listen, that's the work ethic I need. I can train him how to recruit. Brought him in, and we started out of the basement. Within, first couple of months, we just took off. And a lot of these clients were just from networking, hockey connections. I think I told you about one of the stories earlier, my biggest client right from the beginning. You know, we made a lot of money in our first month, and then we just grew. And I said, hey, I'm just going to take the risk and get an office, right? And this, so before we made all that money, we only had 27K coming in. I said, hey, I'm just going to get an office. I can't work from home. I have kids, one on the way. I just can't do it. I have to get into the office environment, be around other people. So looking back on it now, we laugh because it's crazy, man. Only had 27K coming in, two of us. And actually, third, Eric, was on a team at the time. So we got the office, and month one after we got the office in December, just took off. And from there on, it's just been, it's been great success. And yes, there's months that are up and down, right? But it's how do you stay, this is something I learned from sports, is you're going to have your highs, you're going to have your lows. How do you stay even keel throughout all that, right? Celebrate your wins, but also just know that, hey, it's just a quick win. How do you get back after it? Right down for that next day, next hour, next minute, whatever it takes, because there's other roles coming in and you got to fill them, right? So it's the only way you're making money, especially if you're doing it contingent. Sometimes you do retain, but whatever your model is, if you're not filling roles, you're not making money. So yeah, we can fill that role, but next thing you know, we got to go to the next one, right? Wow. So it's just never ending. And that's what we did. And here we are today, and adding to the team. I think, we're growing. We're still adding, even in this market, right? So it's been good.
That's truly impressive. I mean, your first year, it seems like you really accelerated your team or kind of your scaling plans quickly. I mean, usually people kind of dip their feet in a little bit, start solo for a year or two, save some money, maybe think about getting off. As you did all that in the first 6 months. So tell me, what was like the, in your first year, what was like the biggest month that you guys did in gross? And if you mind sharing, what range did you guys do in your first year?
So yeah, I can get into that. So my first month, we did over 250,000. And so one of my clients was a big global logistics company. I was coaching the guy's son, and he was the VP in North America. Actually, he was a president at a different company. He joined this company, Global Logistics Company, I'm not going to say the name. Their office was located on the other side of Michigan. He decided, since he's from this side of town of Michigan here in Rochester, he's going to move the office, right? So he was working out of my office because they didn't have an office yet. And he decided, hey, I need to fill 25 spots locally here in the Auburn Hills. So my first month, once I was in the office, it was, 250 grand. They were just coming in like left and right. Preston, that's a unicorn. That does not happen all the time. That's a bit of luck, timing, right place, right time. But we also filled all the roles, right? We were filling them left and right. Just, I was working 12, 14 hour days on all night, every night, just texting, emailing, phone calls, you name it. We did whatever it took to get them filled. And that office is still with most of the same people to this day. And they're right down the street. So I stop by and visit all the time. But that was our biggest month for sure. But over in our first year, that I did over 1.5. We just grew, and it just grew quick. And but again, you can see from 250, we just had consistent, steady months all the way throughout.
That's amazing.
And yeah, you're gonna have your $50,000-$60,000 placements. You're also gonna have, if you're gonna, it depends on how you structure your company, what you're going after. But you're gonna have your low hanging fruit, $50,000 to $85,000 roles. Then your tougher ones that could take, I'd say, a month to 2 months, sometimes as well, depending on the interview process, right? So, overall, year one was great. Year two, we're pushing to do even more. So we'll see what happens.
That's amazing. I mean, I I personally haven't surpassed 200 in 1 month. I think my personal record on my own desk was like 125. And that was massive for me. And that didn't take me, I didn't do that my first year, my first month. I mean, that's kudos to you guys. Now, I don't know too much about manufacturing, but like, what is the average kind of commission placement deal size there?
So we don't do a lot of, so I did a lot of manufacturing production roles back at my previous company, but you're talking anywhere from, you know, quality 80,000 up to 130. So it's still decent salaries, right? But we're in the hotbed here in Metro Detroit, where I'm surrounded by, you can go down any street around me here, out my window. I got Stellantis headquarters, which is Chrysler, and then every tier one automotive supplier around us, right? So it's a very competitive environment. People are, if you have good clients and you find the right candidates, you know, the clients are willing to pay for good candidates, and especially in this competitive market. So I think that's key too, is making sure that you're targeting the right clients that fit with your team, right? Are you going to work hand in hand? Is it a true partnership, or is it one transaction? You know, you'll have some of those too, right? I'm sure you have a few of those. It's just transactional, but then you have your true partnerships where they're coming to you for the roles before they even post it, you know, and even asking for advice and, hey, what should we do in this role? We're thinking about expanding this division, this market. What do you see in the market? What are salaries, comp ranges that we should target, right? So it's just kind of getting the data on each area, in each industry. But a lot of roles where we've had success has been in the supply chain tech, Logitech space, we'll call it. And, you know, those are your enterprise account executive sales roles that 150K plus, right, base salary. And those are where we really made a lot of money and continue to do so. But I also love that space, supply chain and logistics, love it. Love dealing with the people in the industry. Automotive is just, obviously, I love it as well, as because we're surrounded by it, but I've been doing it for so long in that space, I just know it. So I will take on a lot of those kind of clients. But I would say, like, my target and what I love to do mostly is the Logitech, supply chain tech, and anything in supply chain logistics. And that also covers a lot of your automotive companies, because supply chain logistics covers everything, right? Every industry needs it, has it. So a lot of that is what we've been doing right now.
For people who are interested about Logitech supply chain, what are some of like the go-to tools to find candidates? Like, again, I'm just very unfamiliar with that market. So do you guys use like just a variety, a plethora, or like you stick with one, two, or three for those that are maybe interested in the market or maybe in it? Like, we'd love to kind of hear your thoughts there.
Yeah. So for most of our enterprise candidates, we're going to find on LinkedIn Recruiter. But we use every, you know, different tools. We'll try Sourcewell, Zoom Info, Apollo. But right now, what's working best for me is just Apollo, LinkedIn Recruiter. But don't get me wrong, I've tried so many different tools, and I have a million messages a day of people saying, hey, try this software, see if this works better for you, you know. And that there's been times where I've like done demos and said, yeah, this looks good, and then you sign up and it doesn't work out, right? But you just got to find out what works best for you in the industry that you're recruiting in, because, you know, there might be better tools in healthcare industry, right, that I'm not using. So you just got to find out what's the best tool for you. But I think LinkedIn Recruiter is still one of the best out there. Unfortunately, they don't budge on their price, very expensive, you know, and you're locked into those agreements. So hopefully you get those roles continue to come in, because they're not budging. They're not going to let you change it out for a job posting, nothing.
What would you also say is kind of like a big tip that you can give for just developing businesses with clients? You mentioned even like networking, like finding connections or relationships through passion areas. Like, for example, your hockey, right? You found your talent. You found your own future team members there. Perhaps you found introductions to clients there. You're living in an area surrounded by executives in your industry. Perhaps you do more offline stuff, events or things like that. Like, do you have any big advice or tips in terms of developing relationships with clients?
I would definitely say, you know, just going, I'm a big golfer. So, you know, country clubs that you're a lot of business owners there, right? So if you're a golfer, I would suggest starting there. But yeah, just at the hockey rink, coaching kids, you know, hockey's an expensive sport. Typically, the parents are going to be in high level positions somewhere, right? Not always, but or they may know somebody, but wherever I go, I'm talking to somebody. If I'm at a restaurant, I'm talking to the waitress, right? I'm talking to the waiter. Wherever I go, I'm going to ask, what do you do? You know, let me see if I can connect you with this. You're just always networking no matter where you're at, right? If I'm out to lunch, You know, if I go to lunch here today or after this call, I'll talk to the lady at the deli right here and say, hey, you know, I'm looking for a role. And wherever it's networking events, local events, you know, like some, they have, what do they call them? BNI groups or your local chamber of commerce groups, whatever it takes. But I think just getting out there and also, you know, doing your calls, cold calling, emailing, messaging on Sales Navigator, like one of my biggest clients. And this is where a lot of people are going to fail and they stop, is it took me 7 messages to get in there, right? To even get a response back. I had no response back. On the 8th message, I finally said to them, listen, I'm young, I'm hungry, ex-athlete. You're either going to work with me or I'm going to take all your candidates and send them to your direct competitor, which I was working with the direct competitor at the time. Would I always say that? No. Looking back, no, that's not the right way to go about it. But guess what? It worked. Will I take it back? No. I mean, it worked. What's the worst they're going to say is no, right? And then that's where you said sales. I think having a sales background and getting into sales before you get into this is a must, because you're going to get a lot of no's, but you got to be able to follow up, take those no's. And here's another thing too. Even if I get a no at a company from one person, I'm going to somebody else. I'm going to try that route. I'm going to try every avenue I can to get in there, especially if it's on my target list of companies I want. Yeah. And it's worked out for me, but I just don't give up, you know, but it's a mixture of everything. It's, you know, the email, the phone calls, the touches on LinkedIn, your content, you know, just be in front of mind for, so when they do get that role, you're at the top of their list, right? Because think about this, you know, this Preston, every hiring manager is getting a million messages a day from recruiters, RPO companies. So how do you stand out, right? So a lot of what we do too now is we send Loom videos. Hey, I see that you have this role open. We're working with similar companies in the area. We have candidates for this position, blah, 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 whatever it is to target that person to at least get a response. And then what's great about Loom is you can see if they open your video or not, right? So, you know, and I also have I use the email tracker to see, hey, did they look at that email? What time they look it up? How many times did they look at it? Okay, they looked at it. Let me hit them with another message real quick via email or on LinkedIn, right? So it's just a mixture. And I think a lot of this comes with experience and learning, right? And would I know that when I first started? No. You know, it's just getting after it, like I said, and just keep digging and you'll find ways. Hey, this may work over here, but it's not going to work over here, right? So it's... You're constantly learning. I'm still learning every day, right? The moment that I stop, I'm gonna be out of the business because somebody's coming right behind me to beat me. You know, we talked about that before. It's just, if you're not always learning, always selling, especially in business development, you're gonna be in a tough spot in this market, especially right now.
There's a lot of takeaways to what you just said. The couple of things that stand out to me is you have to be relentless. You have to be persistent. Most people don't even respond in the first 3, right? You really have to follow up and just keep at it. And the next thing is you have to be creative, right? I love how you're embracing new technology, new media channels to kind of stand out from all the noise, because heck, there's a ton of noise out there. If you're emailing a founder, chances are there's 10, 20, 30 other Prestons or Doms emailing the same founder as well. Like, how can you stand out? And then next, I just love how you're just using whatever method you can. Recruiting, in my mind, and you know, the funny thing is some people actually disagree, but recruiting, especially when you're working for yourself on the staffing side, it's very much a sales role. And especially if you're working for yourself, right? If you're an entrepreneur, you're a small business owner, you can't be afraid of that. You can't be afraid to tell people or show people what you do, whatever you're doing, whether it's like, you know, on the phone or getting a sandwich, right? You just never know where your next candidate or client could be. And so I think in 2023, at the time of the shooting, technology is prevalent, right? People are just used to the internet and phone. And they just assume, oh, to get new clients, I'm just going to use the internet and phone. You could do that, but you never know. Like on the subway, you might be sitting next to like a VP, right? Like at a restaurant, at the bar, like you just never know who you're meeting. You just have to put yourself out there and engage and talk and not be afraid to do so. Because I think that's a huge missing opportunity for a lot of people.
And I agree. And I definitely disagree with people that say, you know, having a recruiting firm is nothing to do with sales. It's all sales, marketing, networking. You know, like if you don't come from a sales background, it's gonna be tough when you get a lot of those no's, right? And you're not used to that. I can show you all the messages I've sent out where no response, right? Let alone no. At least if I get a no, I know, hey, no, I'm not getting in through you. Okay, I'm gonna get in through this person, you know, I'm going to try. But even with that no, it's still no means nothing to me. I'm still coming back after, okay, you just posted this role. Hey, I see that you just posted this role. I have a great candidate for you. You know, yeah. And this is just business. I mean, we're talking business development. But, you know, a lot of our clients, once we're already in, we build that relationship, that partnership. We have the roles that come to us. We're working on it, right? So, but on the business development side, I know a lot of great recruiters that struggle because they don't have that sales piece, right? Yeah. So they, if you don't have that, it's going to be a tough go, right? You may have a couple new connections that you get into a couple of companies, right? But how the long-term game, right? That's only going to work for so long. What happens when you fall as well, right? Now what are you going to do? I think that business development is just key and always doing it. You just can't stop. You can't sit back, even, you know, even if we sign another agreement. So I have a girl on my team, Grace, that's just constantly doing business development all day. That's all she does. And, you know, I have other sources too on top of that.
Yeah. It's funny because like, for me, when I get a no, like it doesn't even faze me. I just expect it, you know, in business. And I think if people don't have sales or prior business experience, founding experience, they're just, you know, they're just coming from a regular corporate job. Like I get it. You're just not going to get that many no's on that magnitude. And some people just get really, you know, emotionally affected by it and they get down by it, but you can't do that if you want to succeed. How big is your team now? So you started with maybe like, I think Andrew, one other person, that's like three. Fast forward to today. Like how big are you guys?
We are at 10 plus a couple contractors.
Oh my goodness. And then are they all like, how do you, I know when it comes to scaling a recruitment team, there is just the infinite amount of ways that you can structure it, compensation. Is it, do you keep it simple? Do you do draws? Do you do salaries? Do you do commissions? Do you do a combination of both?
Keep it simple here.
Preston. You do not keep it simple.
Mine are very, very across the board. You know, everybody's got a different, you know, you have your base salary, right? But some people may say, hey, I want to go straight commission, right? And that's your true hunters, sales reps that want that straight commission. And we structure it differently, right? And I have multiple different ways. You can pass out my contact info after if they want to see how I structure different, you know, employees. It's everybody's different, right? You got to know who you have in front of you and where their skill set is the best fit. And how can you compensate them well enough where they're not even going to want to go anywhere else, right? But also that is, I don't like my team and if they have a family event or a party or whatever it is, they don't have to tell me. It just go. You know what your job is. This is our job is to fill these roles. We need this done by this week. Here's our weekly goal. Did you get it done? Yeah. Okay, good. You know, and that's, I think, the freedom and flexibility that I give my team. And, you know, that's part of the reason why I don't like some of the corporate roles. It's like, oh, I need you to be signed into the team from 8 to 5, right? It's like, and then you're on these 2-hour meetings, you know, my wife came from that industry. So I during COVID, I would listen to her calls and I'd be like, why are you on this 2-hour call when you had 5 minutes that had anything to do with you? This is useless, you know? And she's like, well, I have to, they want us to stay down for 2 hours. I go, well, that's not the way I'm going to run my business. But we structure them all over the place.
That's so interesting. Yeah. So you know that in staffing, right? There's a lot of staffing. I worked at one, you worked at one. They all come in different kind of flavors. But, you know, I think a lot of them predominantly, it's all about like keeping the expenses low and keeping, if you have an office, make it bare bones and don't overspend on any freebies or snacks. And it could just be for a lot of companies like a boiler room, right? Just high pressure, metrics driven, micromanagement, okay pay, and that could just burn out a lot of people. So it's really great that for me to hear that you're just flexible, right? If some people want this, you give them that. If some people want something else, you give them that. But like aside from pay, what are would you say are like some of the also X factors or cool benefits of working at Lazio? Or if someone's listening, like, oh man, like Dominic sounds awesome, and you know, maybe I want to perhaps join the team one day. Like what about your culture, your environment internally? Do you guys do different? Or are you really proud of?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of our team is ex-athletes. So we're on the golf course a lot.
Oh, nice.
We do golf a lot, but no, some of us are in tech. I have, people in Texas, some on the other side of the state of Michigan. So we do a weekly meet. Every day we get on a call at 8:30. Just go over the day's goals and sometimes whatever we can do, events, anything, you know, golf, like I said, golf or go to a Red Wing game or anything to get the team together, try to keep that, you know, especially if you got a lot of remote employees, that's tough. It's how do you make the team in Texas feel included with the team in Michigan, right? It's so we do those daily calls and bring up any concerns, and it's an open forum, right? Like we just actually restructured it, but it's Mondays, Wednesdays, we have a leadership update for 5 minutes and then review active candidates. And then we'll go over assigned roles and then a discussion. So sorry if you see me looking up there, it's our new chart we just set up today. But Tuesday and Thursday, a quick 5 minute leadership meeting, business development update, and then, you know, anybody can discuss any open topics, what they're, you know, if they're going through anything, they're struggling, they need help, you know, we're there to support them all the way through. But yeah, like I said, our team has the freedom. If you want to work, you have to take your kids to school at 8:30 and you can't start till 10, great. Here's your assigned roles, and it depends how much money you want to make. What you tell me, like when that bring them on, I'll say, what's your goal? You know, money wise, what are you trying to make this year? And then I'll say, okay, this is what it's going to take to do that, right? And then we'll keep them on. You know, we follow the book Traction. Have you ever read the book Traction? It's great. It's definitely a book I would highly recommend, especially if you're trying to scale your business right now.
I actually have one more question. So what about if you want to hire someone who's entry level, no prior recruiting experience, they start from the bottom, get it right? Like, do you get an opportunity to give them, if you're like, hey, Dom, I have no experience, but I want salary and maybe commission. Like, do you actually offer that to them, like off the bat? Or is there like a training ramp up period where if they've done X amount of deals, X amount of time passed, then it kind of like, you know, unlocks commission, or again, case by case basis?
Yeah, no, and it was case by case. I did do that, right? Preston had a few, and it one candidate, or an employee that we had, it didn't work out, right? We were just too busy, and I didn't have enough time to put the attention that he needed to make him successful, right? But what I did do is I ended up getting him a job at a big recruiting firm here in Michigan that has the training in place. They've been around for 10 plus years and established, right? So I know the owner there very well, and I connected him, you know, with that company. He started over there, went through all their training. That is something that I'm looking to do here, probably within the next couple of months, is get an actual training program in place to make somebody successful, especially if they're just beginning their career in recruiting. Because it is you can make a lot of money doing it, right? And also have the freedom, but it's tough. I mean, I do, it's funny. I send a lot of people to watch your videos, Brianna Rooney's, and then a couple others, Mark Whitby on YouTube. And I say, hey, watch these and let me know if you have any questions. But even that, just watching videos, it's tough. Like, you have to sit next to somebody for a couple weeks. I think, you know, a couple of my buddies that I got in the industry, they sat in my office for 3-4 weeks, sometimes 2 months, literally sitting next to me, just watch. And I didn't have to explain anything. They were just watching what I was doing. For somebody to come in new and sit behind me now, it's going to be tough because I'm going back and forth. You know, this, I'm submitting candidates in SAP, and I'm going to ISO different systems, right? And I'm going to, you know, LinkedIn Recruiter, Apollo, and then email drip campaign. It's just tough for somebody to follow along. I have to set up a better training program and bring on an entry-level recruiter. And I know that. We know that as a team, we discussed this morning. So that's part of our game plan, you know, within the next couple of months to roll out.
I think there's no right or wrong answer. I think there are staffing firms that only hire and train people entry level, but there are also equally the same number of firms out there that just want experienced recruiters. And then there's a third cohort that does a little bit of both, right? I think that sounds great. If anything, it'll just give you like access to a greater talent pool when you guys are scaling. So now I just want to touch upon this a little bit. So you guys are hybrids. You have a physical office based in Michigan. You have some team members in Texas and other states. Now, if you were to go back in time, do you think you'd have been able to find the same success if you were completely remote from day one? In other words, how important is it to have a physical office space to have a successful recruiting staffing company?
I believe it's important to have the physical office space. For me, mentally, right? I just can't work from home with the kids. But to have our core team here, right? That can, a core team of leaders that are here that can go off and give direction to their team. But that's us meeting face-to-face every day and being able to, you know, take on anything that comes at us. You know, I can open my door and say, hey, AK, this is what we're dealing with right now. Let's figure out a plan. How are we going to attack this? Right. And you know, like there's four of us in the office every day, but you know, in the beginning, you know, but what I didn't want to do too, is I didn't want to limit myself to only, you know, hire people local when I know there's top talented recruiters all across the country. You know, that's why we have people all over the place. Right. So it's, I think it would be good for somebody to start with, you know, in office, maybe have your core team and then branch out, see how that goes. But I think the average rule, I forgot where I read this, but somebody said to me, like, you know, every 200K is probably when you should bring somebody else on. I think it's a pretty good rule. And now looking back at it, right. I didn't follow that. I just was going off on a limb, right? Just figuring it out as we go. But now I learned a lot more, and now I see things. But I watch every penny, right? And a lot of people, you know, you get into these subscriptions, and next thing you know, you're getting billed a couple thousand a month for this, that, and you're like, wait, what am I paying for? Mm-hmm. You know, one guy told me, he's like, hey, you know what you should do? Cancel your credit cards every 6 months, or just say, hey, I need a new card. So that card is no longer active. And then you have to put in a new card number. And I was like, oh, that's not a bad idea. Nah, you don't want to cancel it, because then you got to, you know, redo it. So just say, hey, I lost my card. I need a new card. So I don't know if that works. I haven't done it yet, but that's not a bad idea. Maybe I'll try that. But no, I have a spreadsheet. I watch everything I save, and I keep just tracking data on everything. Hey, is Apollo working great for us right now? Yes. Okay. What's the data points behind it? And that's where our leadership team will sit down. We'll look at it. Hey, we're getting a lot of response, a lot of great contact information, phone numbers, emails. This is a good source for us right now. So let's use that. If you can track that from day one when you get in, that's huge. But also, I think having a CRM in your system and you're tagging candidates properly, putting them in the hot list. We've had a ton of hires from tagging candidates properly in our system. So where I can just go and look them up. Boom. Okay, we got a new role opening for a 3PL account executive in Minnesota, right? Okay, go to my hot list candidates, 3PL. Boom, pull a candidate right out of my database. Don't even have to search for it. They're already in my system. You know what I mean? So I'm not going to LinkedIn. I'm not going to. But I think a lot of people, you know, they just get in. They don't know what to do with all the resumes. They don't even have a CRM. I think having a CRM is very important. Tracking the data. For what we do, I don't really track phone calls, emails, or texts, and any of that. At the end of the day, we're just tracking hires, right? But we do, our system does track it. But I'm not sitting there nitpicking, hey, why didn't you make 30 calls today? You know, I just don't do that. They know what their job is. They know how much money they want to make. And here it is, and go get it.
And I think that's a great theme of what I'm learning about you, your leadership, how you structure your company. And recruiting is very much performance-based. And if as long as people are very clear on their goals, they're doing really well, no need to like micromanage. Like, you need to come to the office at 9. You can only leave at like 6 or 7. Like, you do what you have to do, but then I trust and I have faith that you'll do the job well.
Absolutely.
And yeah, CRM, great point. Like, why do all that work? Outreach, targeting, qualifying. And then if you forget something like tagging, you know, you have to put in extra work again to find that same candidate. So even something small like tagging correctly to be able to find that candidate again for future similar roles is huge. It's all about like saving time and saving energy, right?
And you nailed it. And that was, I learned that really early in my career, is save time, right? Tag everyone properly, put, you know, different industries are in that way. Once that role pops up, you're not wasting an hour searching. You know, like perfect example. I was on a client call, new client, right? While we're talking about the role that he has open and he's been struggling to fill for a month, I have in my database, I looked through it, boom, I have first candidate I reach out to, boom, fit. So I had to fill within one day. $85,000 position, you know, that's a 15K commission, I think at 20%, right? So within 1 hour, we had a fill. You know, I didn't say it was that easy. I said, yeah, we had to go through a bunch of messages, blah, blah, blah. But there are times where it's not going to be that easy. If you don't tag it right and have them in the system properly, you know, you're going to be digging through and, you know, you'll probably pass over candidates. Like I look through that at the end of every day. It's like, okay, all right, were these candidates that entered into our system, were they tagged properly? So we can find them easy, you know, when the next role pops up.
For sure.
I think that's key.
As the CEO of, like, now, you know, including everybody, almost 12 people, like that's a really solid number to have. Like, what does your day-to-day look like? So a lot of people can have the assumption that by the time you grow that size, you're just very high level of leadership, but it still sounds like you're very hands-on. Like, you're still into SAP, iSIMS, screening candidates. Like, are you still running out your own full desk, or is it not that intense? But like what does your day-to-day look like? If people are curious.
Full desk. Yeah, still full desk. You know, I'll tell you, you know, I get go wake up at 5. I go to the gym for about an hour. You just get the blood flowing, right? Come into the office, get here early. I get here about 6:30. And that's where I get most of my tasks done, right, that I need to do, set the game plan for the day. And then at 8:30, we have our team meeting, and then everybody will branch off into their different roles. But then I'm pretty much booked with calls every day, right? So I time block my day now. I had to learn this after just taking too many phone calls. I just start time block my day. Hey, from, let's say on Monday, you know, I'll take calls from 2 to 4, or, you know, I'll do business development from 9 to 11:30, and then I'll take a couple calls. I'll go to lunch, and then I'll get back to recruiting. But yeah, I'm still running full desk, and I'm fully involved. I love it though, so that's why I think I'm still fully involved. Could I step back a little bit? Absolutely, but like I said, I'm pedal to the floor right now. We're not stopping. Like, yeah. What I want to do is be set up to be super successful, that when this market does turn, hopefully for the better here soon, that we're just ramped up, ready to go. We have the team in place, you know, because, you know, in recruiting, it ebbs and flows, right? It's cynical, the ups and downs, just like everything else, right? And just being prepared and being on the upswing when it goes. We're going.
I love it.
Just not sitting back.
Yeah. So like on two things that stand out to me, like number one, you just have to love the art, you know? And I think for me, what's different from my career to you is I chose to actually just be a solo recruiter for several years first, just because I loved being full desk. I didn't have any aspirations in the beginning to scale a team. I love to travel, handful of placements. Life is good, right? Only until like the past year and a half, I'm like, let's grow a team. But even if I do grow a team, like my desk doesn't change. I still am full desk. That I love it. I think that us recruiters, we just get a high from it. Obviously, there are aspects like any job that's like mundane, you know, the kind of the boring work. But then there are others like negotiations, clients, like you just love it so much. And so it's great to see that you still do that. And yeah, just really, really excited to see you guys continue to grow in a down market. In my eyes, like that's how you can determine if you guys are actually running a business, or if you're just kind of lucky or like a flash in the pan, right? I think businesses that can continue to maintain or grow in a down market, like they're onto something. They either have like a really significant competitive advantage, or they're just crushing it on all cylinders, right?
Yeah,
well, candidate side, BD side, right? And you guys are doing really, really well. Like I think right now, Dom, you know, it's a tough market. A lot of recruiters, a lot of staffing firms are going to be washed away, because they don't know what the heck they're doing.
No, absolutely. And that's why, you know, what we were talking about earlier is you cannot take your foot off the gas on business development ever. Like if you do get a client, you still should be set time blocking a couple. If you're a solo recruiter, right, you still should be time blocking a couple hours out of your day or even at night to do business development. Otherwise, you're going to run into this, right? Because I'm in a lot of networking groups. I'm with Forbes.jobs, right? And I see a lot of, you know, successful recruiters that have run multi-million-dollar desks and million-dollar desks, right? And they're struggling right now. No roles to work on. But also, too, is the mindset, right? Like, I'm saying it's a down market, you know, on this call. But when I'm with my team, hey, it's a great market. We're getting after it. We're getting another client today. It's just mindset, right? But in reality, you know, if you turn on any news station, you hear depressing news of, oh, their rates are up, this, that. You know, money's not free anymore, right? Right now. And that's where a lot of these startups are struggling, and that says tech startup space, and they're not getting the money that they could have got 2 years ago, right? And it's just not there. It's expensive, and they can't hire 10 enterprise account executive reps to hopefully produce this. They have to maybe get away with one or two, or they're wearing multiple hats, right? So that's why I say tough market. But inside my team, we don't say that word. You know, go. It's a great market. We're gonna get a couple fills today. We're gonna find a new client. It's just the mindset, right? Don't put that in your head.
Exactly. Is the glass full or is the glass half empty, right? There's always two ways to look at things. And for me, I think that one of the worst things a business owner can do is get complacent. Like once things are going good, they slow down, they start buying nice stuff, traveling, you know, get lazy. I think what helped me in retrospect is I always treated each week as my first week in recruiting, each month as my first month in recruiting, like always remind myself of that back against the wall. Like I need to make something happen, right? And if it's up to me, if it's up to me, it's up to me. Like I can't rely on my team. At the end of the day, it's us. And what's great about a service industry, a service type of business like me and you, is that leaders, and it's a little bit different with other businesses, like if you're running like software, whatever, but in sales, in recruiting and staffing, Managers, I fundamentally believe that leaders and managers have to lead by example.
100%.
If you are not running a successful full desk, if you're not like cranking out the cold calls and cold emails, if you're not putting in those times talking to candidates, how do you expect your team to get inspired and motivated looking at you if you want them to do the same?
100% agree. And it's like, how can you sit there and tell them to make, you know, this many calls or send this many emails if you're not doing it, right? I will never tell them to do something that I wouldn't do myself. Actually, I'm probably working more hours than any of them, right? But I do have a hungry team too. Like, they're all hungry for money. They're wanting it. They're getting after it. And I think that's just the mindset, the culture that we put in place here. And like I said, we're trying to grow every day though. We're not sitting here and thinking, oh, we're doing great. We figured it out. No, it's like, hey, what can we learn now? Or hey, there's new tools always coming out. What do we potentially need coming out in the future? It's a long-term game, right? It's just always looking to the future, and you know, but taking it day by day. Like, today I'm gonna get this done, and then I'll worry about tomorrow. But this is the game plan, and we're gonna get it done.
Yeah. If you're gonna tell yourself to do something today, make sure you don't leave that office until you get it done.
Yeah. One thing I will say too, and this is what really helped me when I started doing it, create your five. They call it the power list. If you're listening to Annie Frisella on Spotify, the power list, the five critical must-have tasks that you must do today that you will not shut your computer off or, you know, complete your day until these five tasks are done. Actually, that's from, I think, Donnie Gupton. He's the one that told me that. He's a relevant recruiter, great guy. I'm in his program, marketing program. Like, complete those five tasks, and that's a W for the day, right? That's a win for the day. And hopefully you have more W's than losses at the end of the week. And then you reset, you go again Monday.
Make sure you learn from those losses, right? I think that's the biggest thing, so you get smarter. But actually, I know we're almost running out of time. Got a couple more questions, love to fire at you. Like, what would you say real quick is your favorite thing about recruiting? And what would you say is like the part of the recruiting that still, you know, kind of peeves you or annoys you or frustrates you?
I think the favorite part about recruiting, and it's just the relationships that like you create all across the country, different companies, different industries, different levels of candidates, right? But what appeases me right now is some of our clients, right? And they'll go through 4 or 5 hours of interviews and not make decisions. And, you know, and that's also part of the plan too, is when you get those clients, is setting the expectations right up front. Like, I like to have a weekly call with my true partner clients, right? Is a weekly call, whether it's 15 minutes or 5 minutes, to go over candidates. And the book Traction that I have behind me, that will go over a lot of this stuff that I'm telling you, right? It'll say, hey, you know, and then talking about learning from your losses, right? Okay, what happened during this loss? How can we learn from it? How can we get better? And then move forward, right? It's just, you got to learn from them. If you just take the L and you don't learn anything from it, you're probably going to repeat that L, you know? And I'm looking for W's every day.
Yeah, you and me both. What would you say is the future of recruiting?
Who knows? I seen an article about Elon buying some, I don't know if you've seen this article. I didn't do too much research into it yet, but for the time being, we're taking it as we're growing and we're moving. I think it's still going to be around forever, because here's the thing, even with AI and all this stuff coming out, you still need the human touch, right? You can see a lot of these people that just apply to jobs, or they can use ChatGPT to tailor a resume to fit that job description, but do they fit what the client's looking for? Do they fit the culture? How's their energy, right? I think that's why we'll still be around for a long time, but who knows? You never know with the new tech. But I'm just getting after it every day.
Yeah. Just focus what you got to do. I agree with you. Like, you know, they said the same thing. Like, think of a similar industry, Dom, like real estate, right? So like real estate agents are actually not that too different from staffing. We're both the middleman. We connect two different parties together. They said the same thing about real estate agents. Like, AI is going to destroy real estate agents. But then the same argument is the same argument I would say now, and I agree with you. It's like that human touch. I think AI has a long time to even get close to compete against that human touch. You know, you can use ChatGPT for resumes, for crafting emails. But hey, even for BD purposes, you can use ChatGPT for emails. It is obvious that it's written by an AI, not a human. So like, I wouldn't even do that, right? And so... Mm-hmm. I think AI is all about like, be smart like an owner and operator like you are, Dom. Always have time to keep try new tools and stuff on the side. But if you have a core tech stack that works well, stick with it. If it works, it works. But you know, also just be aware, like, technology is improving. The landscapes are changing quickly, AI. But I think even now AI is just a snazzy word. And a lot of the products I've seen myself, like you said earlier, they may say AI, but it's not AI, or it does half the job that, you know, right, you expect them to do, right?
Yeah, I agree. And I think it's just getting into a network of recruiters too that you trust that are also on the same level as you, and find out what's working for them. And you guys can, everybody can help each other, right? It's just, you know, I know it's a competitive space, but I've met a lot of great recruiters that we share, you know, different tools and things that work, right? And it's just finding that good group of people that's willing to share that information. I get it. Some people don't want to give you their secrets. I'm not like that. You know, I'll compete against anybody. That's just how I am.
That's the thing. There's no secret to success. Yeah. It's the hard work. You can use the best tools, the best partners, but if you don't show up, that's your edge, right? And it's so easy to hear that, but it's so hard to execute. If someone wanted to follow in your footsteps, Dom, they want to be a successful business owner or come into recruiting, staffing, and crush it, what would you say is like your biggest advice to the audience?
I would say just be ready to put in the work. Don't be sold on some of the YouTube videos you see, or, you know, these Facebook posts, or, hey, I make, you know, all this money, right? There's time where you're going to make that money, but it's hard work, right? Day in, day out, be prepared to do that. If you're not, just like any other job, right? And if you're going to put, you know, if you're going to get in the space, set your mind to it, set a goal and try to target that, right? And I think just every day getting after it, I think it's tough, right? Because, you know, as Preston, everybody's trying to sell people the dream right now on different YouTube channels. But when you get into it, you have to just do the work, the hard work every day, all day, and then do the same day, right? It's tough. It's not as easy as people make it sound.
Yeah. And also, like, if you're in the audience, and obviously for someone who puts out content on the internet, I'm very sensitive about this. Like, you just have to be very, very careful who you follow, who you take advice from. And if you're going to spend money and on any of these people, including myself, online, right, you want to make sure, like, I think the easiest way to is, do they have a verifiable track record, or do they also still practice what they're teaching? I think it's very easy to find a lot of these course guys to, they were a real estate guy before, they're a recruiting guy before, and then now they just stopped everything and they're just now like a course guru guy. I think there are good courses out there. That could be a little bit of a red flag, right? Because then you can't determine if they're actually following through what they're teaching you. Absolutely. Or are they transparent? And so, like, that I made number one, and that should be everyone's goal, putting themselves out there. Be transparent. Don't angle yourself. I think your results speak for yourself. It's so easy to be like, I made 50K, or I made 50K 1 month. I made 20K the second month, 10K the third month, zero the rest of the year. And now you make a course. How do you make six figures in recruiting? Right. And then you're struggling. You make, you know, zero the next year, but then now you're putting yourself off as like a recruiting guru. Like, I think, right, you should be able to kind of see that. But I think it's the ones that show up. You got to show up whether you like it or not, with the team or not, show up. That's half of the work is showing up. Right. And if you can do that and you get smarter, then hey, Dom, like if you guys can do this well in this down market, I know it's about mindset, but man, yeah, once things flip, it's going to be, you guys are going to go to the Jupiter and beyond.
No, and that's why I connected with you from day one is, you know, I was, even before I met you, I was sending my new recruiters to watch your videos because we align with a lot of the same values. I just think we're on the same page of what it takes to get it done. But believe me, there's people you can go out there and watch that. Yeah, exactly what you just said. Maybe they had a few good months, but you know, now find out where they are a couple months later, they're probably not doing anything, right? So just be careful, look into it, research it, ask around. You know, recruiters are very helpful, what I found, most of them, but some are not going to be. They're not going to want to give you any information. So I think just ask around. Most people I'll be willing to help, you know, especially on agreements. Like, I paid a fortune for an agreement. I could just give you my agreement.
That's what I love about you, and I'm learning more about you. I think it's not just recruiting, it's in business. It's very, I think, difficult to find people that are just as open as you and as transparent as you. And I was just talking about internet right now. The theme is people want more transparent people. And I think that should also just correlate to business too. It's very easy to be like competitive and hide. And yeah, I get it. You have a certain competitive advantage, but like, you know, there's so much you're willing to share that most people wouldn't, right? And I think that goes to show that like, you just know your stuff because you're not worried. You know that, hey, if people compete against me, I'm still going to out-compete against them because I know what I can bring to the table. It's like, it's a true way of sales athlete, the winning mindset. Whether you have one competitor, 100 or a million, it's not going to change you.
I agree. Definitely comes from my hockey days for sure.
So I guess the biggest takeaway from this conversation, if you're listening, is play hockey before you become a great. And then you might,
I don't know about that.
Might kill it like Dom. But
I don't know about that. Unless you have five surgeries, I don't know about that.
Oh, wow. Well, it definitely has helped. If people want to reach out to you or find you, where can they find you?
I'm on LinkedIn, Facebook, Lazio Search Group. I'm on LinkedIn all day, every day. So if you want to reach out to me on there, reach out, send a message. I always respond, right? It might not be right that second, but I'll get back to you.
Dom, I really, really appreciate your time here. I know it's very difficult to pry, you know, business owners away from their business in the middle of the day here. So I really appreciate it. I respect, I'm equally impressed with your background. And I just love how you are transparent. And that's how I am. I feel like us recruiters, big or small, need to just work together more instead of just competing and hiding. That the pie is big enough, the market's big enough where we can all win. And I love the fact that you're kind of leading by example, as you should. And very, very happy to hear equally that you guys are doing well. And I would expect nothing less for you guys to finish this off year strong and do even larger and better stuff next year. But I'm grateful now to call you as kind of a fellow colleague here. Hope to kind of get to know you more and then maybe perhaps work together more, provide each other value, and in turn provide more value and education value to people that are listening. So Dom, I'm not going to take any more time away from your busy day, but I appreciate it. Thank you for being you, for being honest, for being transparent. And if you guys want to reach out to him, please do reach out to him. You know where to find him, and excited to see what you guys do in the future.
Well, thank you for having me on, Preston, and love what you're doing. You know, that transparency and the willingness to help other people. It's just, it's amazing. It truly is amazing. And it all comes back to you. That you're just a good person, right? So
means a lot.
Thanks again for having me on.
Yes. Thank you for the kind words. Just got to, like you said, keep my head down and keep doing it. The good work day in and day out.
You will.
Awesome, Dom. Thank you again. And we'll talk to you soon. Okay.
Thanks, Preston. Have a good one.